33 minutes past the hour, Texas Standard Time. I'm David Brown. In a time before TV reality competitions like America Ninja Warrior, 30,000 Texans or more would show up on a Sunday in October to watch prisoners put on the sort of death-defying show that would make, well, it would make professionals think twice. It was a rodeo show, and many who remember the spectacle of the Texas prison rodeo and its evolution into an entertainment event with superstars have fond memories. But what you couldn't really see from the stands were many of the civil, political, and criminal justice issues that still propel our conversations today. Convict Cowboys, The Untold Story of the Texas Prison Rodeo, is the title of a new book by Mitchell Roth, who, when he's not writing books, teaches criminal justice and criminology at Sam Houston State University. Welcome to The Standard.
Thank you for having me.
I was interested in learning that back in the 30s, the man who ran the state prison system pitched this idea as wholesome entertainment, but from the sound of it, this obviously wasn't just fun and games. This was a way for prisoners to do what, I guess, lawmakers wouldn't, help cover the costs of incarceration.
That's right. If they needed new dentures or if they needed a prosthetic limb, they'd have to come up with the money on their own, as well as anything else. You know, it came about in the 1930s, a time of depression, and, you know, really it was kind of a great entertainment, and also the prisoners were as much for it as the administrators were, and when they found out that they could make some money off of it, extra commissary money and that sort of thing, you know, it became kind of the only time of year where there was some type of camaraderie between the keepers and the kept, essentially.
What I found, though, sort of troubling was the way that this, you know, at the event, I think a lot of people would find a lot of aspects of this troubling, but the idea that there is a certain gladiatorial aspect to this. In fact, I was reading something that you wrote about, I guess this must have been on a flyer or something. In order that your amusement will be satisfactory, we've gathered together some of the wildest men in the state, and we want you to know that some of these men are as wild as any ever housed in Alcatraz. That was a big part of the appeal, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, a good portion of them were serving life sentences as it was, so they weren't too far wrong there. But they tried to, you know, give the, I guess, the image of horses just coming off the wild plains and having never been used as rodeo stock before. It was like NASCAR racers going, hoping for an accident. You know, people came and they were expecting, you know, to see people being putting their lives on the line. And so, consequently, you had lots of people getting injured at each rodeo.
There was another aspect of it, too. I mean, if you talk about the 30s and 40s, a time of Jim Crow in all
right.
other sports in Texas, right? Race
right.
and class barriers were a thing. The rule here was if you can ride the stock, you get the job, right?
Pretty much. And also, we're well-behaved behind bars. But it was probably the only non-segregated sporting event in Texas. At the time, because you had black and white inmates in the 1930s competing in the same arena together, while you know they were kept separate in the stands, they you know basically competed against each other in the arena.
These were really rough events, and I think in a way what distinguished the Texas rodeo from those on the outside is a willingness to do some of these stunts that maybe were intimidating to. You know, professional cowboys who did this for
a living. Well, before they started bringing in the celebrities, I mean, the only way that they were going to get someone to go from one rodeo to another was to offer events that weren't offered on the outside. You know, instead of one bull rider, they had 10 bull riders at the same time leaving the chutes, which made for a complete craziness in the ring. They, at one time or another, they tried chariots. They brought in parachutists at one time. So they're always trying to, you know, jazz it up with something new. And only one person died also was amazing during the course of over 50 years.
After all this popularity, you had some pretty major country music stars who put on shows there at the rodeo. After all of that, big arena built too, which surprised me. What finally killed it off?
Well, I think a variety of things. Well, by the 1970s, the money that they had to raise in the past through the Education and Recreational Fund to pay for all the, you know, medical things that they needed, this money was being given by the state, finally. But I think one of the main problems, too, was the prison officials found out they could be sued by injured convicts. And so, you know, they were never able to get enough liability insurance, really. So there was a fear of that.
You think it's just something of an artifact of a bygone era? We're not going to see anything like the prison rodeo again?
Well, outside of Angola, Louisiana, it's gone everywhere else. Simply for the fact, I think too, changing, I guess, perceptions of animals and things like that. So I think the sensibilities were changing quite a bit.
We're only scratching the surface of this new book, Convict Cowboys, The Untold History of the Texas Prison Rodeo. The author is Mitchell P. Roth, who teaches criminal justice and criminology at Sam Houston State. Professor, thanks very much for speaking with us about your book.
Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.